All right. Thank you for coming to Planning Commission. And those of us joining online, we've got Commissioner Holbrook online with us. And we will move to any public comment that's not on the agenda. No public comment. We will move to agenda item 3, public hearing consideration of a proposed code amendment to Title IX. Sherry.
Apologize in advance for these long number of slides, but I figured you probably wanted to know what the WUI is. So we are having a public hearing tonight on the amendment to adopt the Wildland Urban Interface Code. So in 2025, earlier this year, the state passed House Bill 48, and this House Bill 48 required two things. The first is that they directed the State Division of Forestry, Fire, and State Lands to come up with a highest risk assessment map, so a high risk assessment map of properties that are in danger of damage from wildfire, either being while causing a wildfire because their house was on fire and caught the hillside on fire, or the hillside is on fire and catches houses on fire. Part of that map that they'll be releasing January 1st of 2026 will identify properties across the state that they have deemed to be the highest risk, and they'll classify them in either the first, second, or third class. Everybody at first that's on that on their map will be a class one. Then over the next 2 years, property owners will have the ability to make improvements to their property and their home and get their classifications reduced to a class two or a class three, which would reduce the assessment that they'll be making on their property taxes. So the money that they collect from these assessments will go to pay for wildfire mitigation. And the second part of it is the requirement that all cities adopt the Wildland Urban Interface Code. So for many, many years, all counties had to adopt the Wildland Interface Code. I remember it was somewhere in the early 2000s, somewhere between 2003 and 2005, when they had changed the state code to make counties adopt them. But now they have made it mandatory that all cities adopt the WUI code before January 1st of 2026. So what is the WUI? So WUI is short for Wildland Urban Interface. So when I say WUI, that's what we're all referring to. But it's the zone where structures and other human development meets and intermingles with undeveloped wildland areas. Where will it be implemented? So the high-risk assessment areas is determined by the state, and then additional areas of low to moderate risk are determined in an overlay zone by the city. The city staff and the fire district are drafting maps, and those will be approved or brought forward for adoption in 2026. So right now we're adopting the code that applies to an area on a map that we're not adopting yet. The state says we have to adopt the code before 2026. They didn't say anything about the map. So we're going to continue to work on the map, because as we've tried to figure out how many properties should be included in the WUI map, the first draft that I did had 1,600 properties. So that's a pretty big effect, and we'll have to have a public hearing on that, and each one of those property owners will have to be notified. So that's not an easy task, and there are implications for their properties if they're included. And so we want to be really careful that we are included properties that need to be included, because it's a safety issue, obviously, but not overly restricting into properties that aren't a very high fire risk, right? We want to be fair in how we apply it, so we really want to study the map and make sure we have it right before we adopt it. And then at that time, like I said, everybody will be, who's in the map, will be notified personally with a mailed notice of the public hearing. Okay, so who does the WUI code apply to? It applies to any new construction, alteration, movement, repair, maintenance, and use of any building structure or premises within the WUI area. I don't know what maintenance defined is, but I do know what construction is or alteration. So if somebody is in the WUI area and they do an addition on their home, the addition will have to be brought up to the WUI code. The exemptions for that would be single-story accessory structures that are less than 120 square feet, and if they are more than 50 feet from any adjacent structure. All properties in the WUI will be subject to the defensible space requirements, and that's the biggest one for the people that are in there, and we'll go over what those requirements are. And then the code allows for the code official to they can allow for a separate different materials and methods to meet the intent of the code. So it doesn't necessarily have to be exactly what it says. If there are other methods that they can achieve fire protection, then they will allow that. But in essence, so if you do an addition to your home and you're in the WUI, that home addition has to be brought up, not the whole house, just the portion that you're doing the addition to. And then also if you're doing a roof. And if you do a roof of more than 25%, then you have to have it, the whole roof brought up to code. So the first thing that the WUI code does is it requires certain things to be shown on a site plan. So this is a pretty onerous call on this. I'm really glad that the areas that we will probably have the WUI in, we don't have a lot of vacant lots that will be built upon, because this is going to be pretty big. At the very beginning, before you've even applied for a building permit, you have to have the topography, you have to have the slope and width of adjacent roads, you've got to know all of your landscaping and the vegetation that you're going to use. You have to know the location of any structures existing or proposed within 300 feet of your property and on your property. You have to identify the building envelopes, overhead utilities, the occupancy classifications of what you're building, the roof classification that you're going to build, or the roof classification of the homes near you, and then have water supply information. I'm going to need my drink here. And then in certain instances, when you are doing like subdivision review approval, you'll have to have a vegetation management plan showing what kind of fire-resistant vegetation you're going to put into place, as well as what your fire protection plan is. The code requires access. So this requires, if you have a gated access, you have to provide a lockbox to the fire district. Any driveways longer than 150 feet have to be a minimum of 12 feet wide. They have to have a clearance of 13 and a half feet, turnarounds and turnouts based upon the length. And those, if they are fire apparatus roads, they have to have an all-weather surface. They have to be 20 feet wide. And they have to have a grade that's negotiable by the fire equipment that you have in your community, with a maximum grade of 12%. There's some requirements for signage as far as, you know, the numbers that you put on your house, what size they have to be, how they're reflected, where they're mounted, and then also address markers down at the street if you have a longer driveway and you can't see the house from the road, and those have to be visible in both directions. And then there's a water supply requirement. So if you're doing subdivision, we would be looking at the WUI code for this, and talks about where the water source locations have to be, that our water tanks have to have a defensible space around them, we have to have standby power for them, which we have in North Salt Lake. All of our water wells have emergency generators. We received a grant for like 10 of those a couple years ago, and those have all been installed. So North Salt Lake is quite ready for a loss of power and still be able to provide water. So these are the actual regulations for when you're constructing a new home in this area. You would go to this, what you see here on the right is Appendix C. It's a fire hazard severity form. And so anytime somebody applies for a building permit in the WUI area, we are going to have to go through and score their property based on the characteristics of the property. They get a number of points. So if you have two ways in and out, you get lower points. If you only have one road in, you're on a dead end road, then the point score is higher. And so the higher you score, the higher your risk, from moderate all the way up to extreme. And then that governs what happens on the construction side. So it will give you specific fire ratings that you have to meet for your roof, for protections of your eaves, your walls, appendages or projections of your house. If you put a deck that goes out over a hillside that goes down, there are regulations for how that deck is built, so that if a fire came up the hillside and it hit your deck, it didn't start your house on fire. Essentially, that's the reason for that. And then those are all based, like, so there'll be different classifications based upon that fire risk on this Appendix C checklist. And this is the part that says if you replace or repair any part of your roof 25% or more in a 12-month period, you actually have to replace the whole roof and do fire-resistant construction. This is the part that's going to apply to every single property in the WUI zone when we adopt it. So every house based upon Appendix C, so the fire severity, either moderate, high, or extreme, is going to have to provide defensible space around their houses. So if you look at Google Earth and you see some houses up on the hills, you can see houses with trees that are hanging over roofs or right next to the homes. And some of them are very forested. Those trees will have to be cut back to a minimum of 10 feet from the structures. So crowns of trees cannot go over the structures. They cannot come within 10 feet of the structure. I don't know how we're going to enforce this. It's going to be a huge job because there are a lot of homes that are in danger. We're going to have to do a really big education effort for the residents to make their homes firewise. And one of the reasons that the crowns, that is a rule, is because the leaves fall, they drop in the gutter, they dry out, and then if there were a wildfire, embers could come over and land in the gutter, and then it starts your house on fire, because those dry leaves in your gutters start on fire. You can have trees in the defensible space, but you have to have them pruned to be 10 feet from any power lines, and you have to remove the dead wood and the litter from the tree. So litter is leaves every year. Keep those cleaned up. There are rules for HOA properties and their responsibility to do modification to their existing vegetation, so that open spaces owned by HOAs is also not a hazard to the homes in the area. Let's kind of give you, like, anybody who owns a home, or if you're leasing a home, or you just have control of a property that's in that, you would be the person responsible for these maintenance. So again, pruning crowns 10 feet from the structure and pruning branches to be 6 feet above the ground. Another part of the defensible space is that any outdoor areas that you wanted to have an outdoor fireplace or a barbecue, or you have to have spark arrestors to make sure that you're not going to be the cause of a wildfire. And this is a big one too, is a storage of firewood and combustible materials. A lot of people will store firewood under their deck, and that's actually very hazardous to your home. If that firewood were to catch on fire, it will catch your deck on fire and then catch your house on fire. So fires work in a ladder effect. As it comes up, it grows from the lower branches up to the next level. So that's why they want you to clear everything under the tree for 6 feet, and then they don't want you to store anything under your patio decks or any unenclosed space under your living structure. Okay, so Appendix A, it talks about what needs to be done for vegetation control. So these are some of the things that will affect the city. For example, if we have a road that doesn't have a sidewalk and park strip, it's just going through an area, we are required to keep 10 feet of it free and cut down from weeds. So we have some roads that are like that, maybe very few, but any private roads also would be responsible for that. So in the Cove, for instance, where they have sidewalk on one side of the street, and then The curb is just right up against the property. It's still against their right-of-way, but they would be responsible for 10 feet of keeping that clear of vegetation. It restricts motor vehicle travel in the WUI area. So this is kind of a big one. If you owned a big lot in Eaglewood Cove and you have the hillside parcels, you can't just drive your UTV over the middle of your property. You have to build a road to drive it on it, because you don't want your motor vehicles to catch grasses on fire. So that'll be a big one for people to get used to. And then anything with an ignition source, you have to have a 30-foot clearance around it. In the WUI zone, no smoking within 15 feet of combustible materials. Those are all pretty self-explanatory for the most part there. The next part of Appendix A talks about if you do have an outdoor fireplace, there are times when you can't use it. You can't use it in high winds. Don't use your barbecue grill or your outdoor fireplace when there are high wind events. And this second one was kind of funny, I thought, when I read it. Without the supervision of someone who is 17 or older to watch the fire and tend it and be attentive to that fire. And I thought of 17-year-old boys that I've raised. Yeah, those are the ones that it should say, you know, your 17-year-old daughters, but your 29-year-old sons can be in charge. Because I was like, well, I remember we had an outdoor fireplace and they made some big fires when I lived in Camas. So, and then anytime there's a public announcement that bans fires, bans open burning, it would be prohibited in these areas. There's some control for storage of any hazardous materials. So anything over 10 gallons or 200 cubic feet of gas or 10 pounds of solids requires a permit from the fire district. Can't store explosives in the WUI areas. And again, just proper storage of wood or tires or any building materials. They have some requirements in there for the size of a pile of wood you could have, and how your piles of wood, if you had more than one, have to be a certain distance apart from each other. And then again, this part talks about what has to go into the defensible spaces around our water pumps and water storage areas, and from the power, overhead power. And the last one they put in there was temporary land uses require a permit and an access road with 24 feet and be marked no parking. And that got put in there for, I can't remember what their names were, but it was like a group of kind of, I don't want to say homeless because I don't think they were homeless, young people that were having these events and festivals like up in Wasatch County. They came into the state from all over and they would leave it a big mess, and there was a big worry about it. So these things are saying if you're going to have like Burning Man or something. I can't remember what the name was of the groups that were coming into Utah, but I vaguely remember there were a lot of news stories about them. Appendix B talks about when you need a vegetation management plan, and it gives a list of species that you can use that are fire resistant in the WUI. So it gives you a list of grasses and perennials and what kind of vines and trees are appropriate. And then Appendix C is what I described earlier, is that fire hazard severity form. So the actual code amendment will go into Title IX. I got some feedback from Commissioner Jorgensen. He said it because right now the state has adopted the 2006 WUI code. So as you can imagine, that's quite outdated. And I know that they're looking at the next legislative session to try and adopt the 2024 WUI code. And so what I wanted to put in this was to say that we would adopt whatever the most current code that the state of Utah adopts, so that if we put in 2006 right now and then in 3 months they come back, the legislature adopts the 2024, we don't have to come back and amend our ordinance. We will just automatically be updated. But Ron's suggestion was that we have a hyperlink in our code when we codify it to the state code, so that the people who come on to our website to look at our code can get the link to the to the code that's in effect at the time, as well as build a web page, which we're planning on doing, building a web page that has some FireWise information, summaries of the code, what permits are required, and what the regulations are. So just so you know, we're planning on doing that, and I think it is a good idea to have that hyperlink in the code, and we can have our codifiers do that pretty easily. So with that, I will turn it over to you for a public hearing, and I decided to start doing this. We do this at the Planning Commission. We post a slide with the proposed motion. So when you're ready, if you would like to use that, you're more than welcome to. If you have any questions. I don't know why I didn't think of it sooner. We've been doing it for like a year or so at City Council, and it just occurred to me today to go, oh, we should put the motions in there. That would make it a lot easier for our planning commissioners. So you don't have to look on your iPad. Anyway, do you have any questions before you open it, the public hearing?
Circling back to the first thing you talked about, it seems like the map is going to be the most important. And did I miss how do they define what a wildland is? Like, is the golf course land a wildland?
That is entirely up to the city to decide.
And is there a guidance of like how many feet away from the wildland? Is it just the houses on the edge that will be in the map, or you're going to go like
away? That's how I started the map, was just any property that touches open space or has like a draw, because we have a lot of lots that go back to each other, but then they drop off and there's a
and the consequences are all of the building requirements.
Yes.
But there's also a fee.
No.
Does the fee change, or is that standard to all of North Salt Lake?
So we will not make the decision of the area that the fee will be assessed. That is the state's map, that it will be the highest risk areas. So they are using all of their different resources and their models and probabilities to identify the areas of homes that they think are the very highest risk. And those homes will be assessed a fee. Hmm. They'll be in the WUI. Our WUI is supposed to be bigger than their high-risk WUI.
Gotcha.
So until we see their map, I don't even know how many of those there are. But ours is supposed to be a little bit bigger, because they're not going to go into the moderate areas and assess them a fine or define that. And they want the local jurisdiction to determine where the areas are that there may be a risk. Now, one thing that I will just say is that the map isn't necessarily just going to be on this side.
Yeah.
Because there are properties out here on this side that are close to
marshes.
Areas that could have wildfires. There are a lot of grasses out there that are dry. And now, even though you can't start the Phragmites on fire for nothing, you can put all sorts of gasoline on it and you can't get rid of the Phragmites. There are other grasses that burn. And the fire marshal was pretty, he gave us some pretty good examples, like the Uinta fire last year was actually on the east side of Highway 89 and south of Highway 84, and the wind came up and took embers across 89 and across Interstate 84 and started the mountain on fire on the other side of Interstate 84. So embers can be carried in a good wind event up to a mile. So just because you're down here doesn't mean you're not affected. So there may be some areas down here that we will be looking at based upon the assessment. But mostly we're most worried about the areas up here, especially where we have a lot of scrub oak in those draws, and if a fire were to start in there, there's a lot of undergrowth that would just carry a fire right up the hillside. And the whole reason for this code is to not have something happen like happened in the Palisades in California, and we've all seen those wildfires. And so the state got really serious about it this year and said, hey, we need to address this, and we need to do something about it. Now, there's lots of concerns from residents about their insurance rates or being dropped by their insurance carrier. The state is trying to put in place restrictions so that carriers can't drop them or raise their premiums more than 20%. But I don't know how enforceable that would be. in the at the end of the day, right? You know how you force an insurance company to give you insurance and not drop you? Private, you know, we live in a capitalist society, so I'm not really sure how that would work.
Yeah, how many years do they have to continue to sell you insurance?
That's a very good question. I don't know. So all I can say is with Ron's example that he gave us last time about his cabin down in southern Utah, he sure likes Liberty Mutual because they showed up on that fire and helped clean. They sent like, I can't remember how many guys just showed up while they were down there cleaning up the property. They said, hey, we're from the insurance company. They sent us out to look at our 13 properties that they insure in this area, and we're here to help you clean it up. And they went to town helping clean out gutters and removing vegetation and making the property safer. So getting a dispensable space around it.
Thanks.
Commissioner Marsh. Wendy thanks me when I, or no, it wasn't Wendy, it was Andrea. Thanks me when I say my name. Mm-hmm. So you got to say your name. What was the proposed fee for each of those classifications from the state?
So the first year, every property that they identify will be identified as class one. Now they're estimating the fees between $20 and $100 per year. And I don't know if that meant $20 per square foot of your home or just $20 per property. They still have not determined what that is. So the fee will be a flat fee for 2026 and 2027. And then 2028, they will start assessing a fee that is based upon your classification and your square footage of your home. So they still haven't figured that out. I think they're going to use these 2 years to figure out how much it's going to cost to administer this program, and then they'll establish the fee based on that.
And that's just assessed on property tax?
Yep, collected by the county. Okay. It's your property tax.
Thank you.
As we're discussing the map location with some of the west areas that are up against the wildlands out there, potentially, could there be a discussion about firework usage at the same time? Because that feels like we prevent that on this side because we're saying high fire likelihood. But if we're going to include west side properties in this also, it seems like we need to be discussing where
in
fireworks
the
WUI,
in the any WUI area, you would not be allowed to use fireworks. Except for by permit, and the only fireworks permits that the fire district issues are to commercial shows like the city's fireworks shows. So they don't issue those to individual property owners.
Yeah, for that'd fireworks. Be great to have that discussion at the same time.
Yep, and that brings up a good point. I've been speaking with the city manager about how we're going to go about the map area, and one thought that we had is that if we make the WUI area smaller than the big map, the first map that I created, we could adopt other code ordinances in our code for landscaping that said tree, you know, we could make defensible space rules for every property in the city, because it's a good idea for every property not to have trees hanging over your house, to trim them back from your house, you know, at least 10 feet. And so there are certain things that we may look at putting in the code just citywide so that we have some tools to help protect all homes from fire, not just those that are adjacent to wildland areas. And that would help us feel better about making the map a little bit smaller, because we would still require some of these things on every property that could help.
Right.
So that's one way we might do that.
Any other comments or questions? Discussion for Sherry at this point? All right, we will open the public hearing.
Of course, if you have a public hearing, you have to have a public hearing. Dee Lalas, I don't know if any of you work for the Forest Service or for anybody that's ever put out wildfires, but I have. I know what it means to run from a fire. I know what it means to have a fire get away from you. And I think I've read through most of this, and I've heard it also additionally at City Council, but I think this is a great idea. I think too many people, it sort of goes like wild animals. Deer and chipmunks and squirrels are very pretty in somebody else's yard. And I think that the problem with a lot of people is that they think, well, gee, I'm going to build this nice big house up here. It's a $2 million house. And there's a statement that is out there in the landscaping and gardening world, you don't put a $10,000 tree in a 10-cent hole. And I think, unfortunately, too many people, when they build these houses, they don't take into consideration what Sherry has talked about fire coming up the hill and burning under your deck and starting your house on fire. I don't know if you've ever seen a fire in grass that you have a 20-mile-an-hour wind, and you may or may not know that fires create their own wind zone. If you ever saw the pictures of some of them, like Palisades, and some of the pictures that they've shown of these wildfires, you cannot drive fast enough to get out because the roads become impassable. Anytime that you have a fire, it's going to crown. Anytime you get a crowning out there, that means that now all those sparks go up in the air, and there's a pretty good probability, as Sherry said before, that they're going to go at least a half a mile, and they can go up to a full mile before they go out. If I had a house that I build up there, it would be just like the house that I live in currently. I have a metal roof on it. I think too many people think, oh, wood shakes or this and that are really nice looking, and that's what I want, and I've grown up with that. They don't think about the other problems that are created by them. How fast, even your asphalt shingles, you may not get a fire out of a cinder that drops out of the sky that's a quarter of an inch size, but I'll bet you that you'll find a lot of melding and whatever when you get half an inch. And these fires can put up chunks of wood as big as a football. And if you had that land on your roof, it would make some damage and do a lot of burning. And so I've read through this, and I think that it's a great idea. I don't know why they haven't enforced it before, that everybody who lives within areas that are pretty much tree populated, and I think the city, a lot of it, even in my area, we have a lot of trees, and some of them, Sherry said, have to trim them back over the house. I'd really like to cut down a few of my trees that don't go over the house, but they're out there that if they fell over, they could hit the house. And I don't know if you've ever seen a fire burn out in the wild like that, but I'll guarantee you that it's a very scary thing. And whatever we can do to mediate all those things, whether we make rules that say you can't have any vegetation except green grass within 10 feet of your house, I think all those things would be very beneficial to that future and to prevent some of the problems that can exist on that. And so after having read it, I think that what the state is doing is good, and I think what the city is doing is necessary also. Thank you.
Thank you, Dee. And we will close the public hearing. And then any other discussion between the commission or staff, or we can move to a motion if we are ready for that.
Sherry, I just had one more question. What work is being done with other municipalities like Bountiful, Centerville, Farmington? Because it seems like if we come up with a way of doing this that is different than theirs or vice versa, there's going to be, like, it wouldn't make a lot of sense. Like, there, it seems like there should be a relatively standard way about going about doing this for all these cities that are in similar topography within where we're located at. Am I off base there? Or?
Well, I think that the good thing is that we all are members of the same fire district. Mm-hmm. And so with working with the advice of the fire district and where to clear and where to identify the highest priorities. So this has really made us think as a city, okay, this might not be an area that's going to be put in the WUI, say along the golf course by hole number one or two. There's a lot of scrub oak in a particular area that hasn't been cleaned out for a while. And so we've really thought about these things, that we need to identify these areas and prioritize them and then get like work groups together to go in and clear out the properties. We've talked about different programs that the state has. The state has done some of it in Bountiful, and the fire marshal has suggested that we do some of those here, where they'll bring in a dumpster. It might be located at the church near the houses up on the hill, or at Tunnel Springs Park, or at the golf course, and then do a call with Just Serve for volunteers, and state workers come out and they'll help clear the undergrowth out. And then everybody can bring that debris to that particular place where the dumpster is, and they'll have a wood chipper. The state brings a wood chipper and then chips it all, and you can either get wood chips that you can take back and use in your gardening beds or other places if you need them, or it'll just go to the dump for recycling when they do the composting. So we really want to take advantage of those programs, and I'm not worried that we're going to do anything different. I think it's just the number of properties may be different. As I looked at the map that Bountiful was working on, they had gotten a grant, so they were a little bit farther ahead of us with the map, because they had they've just completed a study. They'd gotten a grant to study the areas that were at biggest risk for fire, and then they are doing a program to start going in and cleaning out the draws and removing the dead wood that's in those areas and try to keep it. It's an ongoing battle, right? You could go and clear them all out today, and 5 years from now, they'll look just the same as they do today. So this is something that's going to have to be an ongoing program.
Gotcha.
No matter
Thank
what.
You.
Thank you. A motion, if anybody.
I'll make a motion. I move that the Planning Commission recommend to the City Council the proposed amendments to City Code Section 9-8-6, adopting the International Wildlife Urban Interface Code, with the following findings. One, the proposed amendment is in accord with the Comprehensive General Plan goals and policies of the city. And two, changed or changing conditions make the proposed amendment reasonably necessary to carry out the purposes stated in this title.
Thank you, Commissioner Ward. And do we have a second?
Commissioner Marsh, second.
Thank you. Any comment on the motion? All in favor, say aye.
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 Thank you, Commissioner Holbrook. And any opposed? And it passes. Thank you. Thank you for all the work on that, getting us all updated with in compliance with legislative stuff. All right, agenda item 4, a farewell to Commissioners Bill and Brandon. Genuinely, like, such a gratitude to both of you guys. I know Brandon's not here tonight, but for creating an environment where we could have healthy discussions and respectable viewpoints that altered at different times, but where we were learning and working together. I feel like over the years, we've had the last years that I've been here, we've had a unique ability to have healthy conversations that were rooted in respect, and also balancing so much of the citizens' rights and property owner rights and the work of the staff and the expertise of the staff, with integrating that with our lived experience as citizens here. But it's been just such an honor to work with both you and Brandon, and to learn from you, and all of the opening for growth for all of us. I feel like we've really benefited, and the city has quantifiably benefited from the work that you guys have done on the Planning Commission, to Brandon also. So just, like, so much gratitude and thanks for all the years that you've served here.
Thank you.
Also to Brandon, who's not here, but thank you, thank you. And then if anyone else wanted to comment, that's available to you, or you can just hear here.
Commissioner Marsh, second.
Second, yes, all in favor.
And I would say, this is going to sound like a pitch to join the Planning Commission, which means I'm preaching to the choir, but Wallace Stegner talks about a sense of place, which I didn't realize is a big thing in planning. I grew up in a town that I thought had that really strongly, small town, rural Utah. And then I came to North Salt Lake, and I didn't really feel that. You know, I bought the house solely because it was a good commute to downtown. But being on this and being involved in the city and the decisions, and it has really created more of a feeling of connection to the city, and
Absolutely.
Feeling like a North Salt Laker instead of just I would pitch that as the reason you would do public service like this.
Yeah, absolutely. If you want to love where you live, get on a board or a commission.
Yeah. That's one of the reasons why I love that we split the PTAR into 3 committees, because it's more opportunities for citizens to get involved.
Yeah.
And that just spreads out into your communities with your neighbors when you serve on these boards. You can really take the knowledge of things you learn and share it with them and let them know that we're not just doing things in a vacuum here. We're trying to do things that are right for the whole city and build a great place to live. So
yeah,
we do appreciate your service. I'll reiterate all of that too. I'm just feel so lucky to work for North Salt Lake and work with people like you, because we have a great planning commission. We have a great city council, and I just have been in heaven. So thank you for sure.
It's been a great run. Yeah. Here, here. Has it been 8 years?
8 years.
That's amazing. Yeah. Well, thank you for being here and helping North Salt Lake move in the direction we're at, because it's going, I feel like, in a great direction. So thank you. Thank you. Now you're out of here. Get out of here. Just kidding. All right. Yeah. Just disappear. Poof. Okay, and then the report on City Council action items.
So both of the code amendments for the accessory structures and the geologic standards ordinances were adopted by the City Council last week. And so those have taken effect immediately. And that's all that we have for that. The other action item obviously that you know is that Mackenzie had her sweet little baby. I got to see her for just a couple minutes on Sunday when I dropped off a little care package, and she's just a doll. And Mackenzie looks great and happy and healthy, so we love her, and we know where she's listening right now because she's addicted to this work, because she's
here to
work. It's the best. She's the best too. We miss her, and we only have 10 and a half weeks left to go.
Oh, are you going to do the countdown that you did when she had Riley, where at the end of each planning commission you put like how many weeks till Mackenzie was back?
I can start that. I already made one, and I put it on her door, her office door, with 84 days, and they're in circles, and then I mark an X off for every day. So,
but it was like how many days till she's back. Yeah. Well, she is missed.
It's fabulous.
Okay, and then we have Planning Commission minutes from November 25th, approval of the minutes, any adjustments to the minutes as they are drafted, and if not, a motion to approve the minutes. We don't
have
Ron.
Can you forward the slide to the
motion? So we're going to have a...
Because I did put a motion thing in there. Well, she had texted
it's
me
November 25th,
while they were doing the public hearing that
said
she...
I'll move the Planning Commission approve the minutes of...
November 25th?
November 25th, 2025.
All right. Do a second.
Commissioner Marsh, second.
And all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
And they are approved. And we are adjourned. Thank you for being here.
Thanks, Ryan.
Miss everybody. Congratulations, Mackenzie.
Yes.